Hello and welcome to Ahead of the Curve, the podcast from LSEG Post-Trade Solutions. My name is Scott Sobolewski, a partner in Acadia's Quant Services Group, and I have with me here today Dr. Roland Stamm, a fellow partner in Acadia's Quant Services, and Joey O'Brien, a senior consultant on our expert services team. And today we're here to do a year in review for our open source risk engine, or ORE. We'd like to highlight some important functionality that was recently released over the course of 2024, give you a preview or insight into how clients have most been using ORE over the course of this year, and what lies ahead in 2025. So if you're a newer viewer or listener, we'll start first with Joey. What is ORE?
Thanks, Scott. So ORE is the open source risk engine. It's a C++ library with over 20 years of development to do everything from curve building, pricing of financial instruments, the whole way up to complex risk calculations, including XVAs. It's been used behind the scenes within Acadia for over 5 years now in terms of the sim calculation. So it's been battle tested in that case, but it's ongoing and fully open sourced. So that's what we're mainly here to talk about today.
Yeah. And for a bit more background, ORE has been open source for nearly a decade now and has been quite mature. We continue to make continual improvements to ORE to support client-led growth and other use cases that we see in the open source realm. Things like expansion of instrument coverage across all asset classes. Some other big highlights from this year include Sabre modeling for interest rate options, XVA stress testing and sensitivity calculation, informed by some of our clients' regulatory capital requirements, and also historical simulation VAR. So quite a bit of functionality for derivatives and other financial instruments across market risk and counterparty credit risk. If you're not already aware or you're not familiar with ORE, it is fully open sourced end to end. For some of our commercial clients who are using ORE in production or as a replacement for internal or legacy risk systems, Acadia does also offer commercial support for those clients in the form of service level agreements or SLAs. And some of the feedback we've gotten over the last decade since ORE has been open sourced is that certain maybe large banks or other large institutions are perhaps hesitant to use pure open source software without a commitment from a software vendor. So Acadia has recently solved for that at the beginning of 2024 by offering now quite a low cost SLA for clients to get around some of those issues in the open source domain. But as you'll find out, plenty of clients still continue to use ORE entirely for free. So I guess first, I'd say the majority of the development that we put into ORE over the last year in 2024 has been driven by requests and funded development from some of our commercial clients. So I'll start rolling with you first. Maybe you could cover some of the biggest use cases for our commercial clients in ORE, specifically in the counterparty credit risk space first.
Yes. So we have one very big client in the US who has driven a lot of the development that we've done over the past year. And the project that we have there is really to replace multiple systems in the risk space, both on the market risk side for stress testing and P&L explain, but also on the credit risk side. There we are talking about XVA calculations and PFE calculations. And maybe at that point, Joe, you could dive a bit deeper into that PFE piece.
Sure, Roland. So one of the main use cases of ORE within that client is in PFE calculation. And in some sense, PFE calculation is as involved as it gets from a risk perspective. It involves simulated market data, repeated pricing, and storage. So that has been a huge component of the implementation of ORE within that client. In practice, they have a portfolio of over 100,000 trades, which at the end of each day, they have to calculate PFEs or potential futures exposures on each in each case, and that's a highly involved calculation, and we've really battle tested ORE in this case in that implementation to be able to have the capability of doing that calculation every single day across that entire portfolio. So that's been one of the primary use cases in the setting. Mm-hmm.
And what are the challenges in particular in the potential future exposure simulation?
So firstly, it generally involves simulating up to 50 years into the future. So you have to be able to simulate market data that far into the future, along with pricing along those paths. And to get a potential future exposure, it involves looking at the distribution of potential portfolio value And that, in essence, involves doing that repeated many, many times, which makes it computationally expensive. So you run into things like memory issues from a computation perspective, but also storage of the actual results. So that's been a huge focus this year, is actually making improvements to ORE to be able to do that at scale.
Super, thanks.
And from a use case perspective, the mechanics to simulate those underlying risk factors is very similar as it is in PFE to things like XVA and CVA.
Correct.
And not only with this client in particular, but we've seen a trend across the board to unify the modeling, the underlying modeling for XVA and PFE. PFE a bit more so in the middle office for independent risk functions, and XVA in the front office. Roland, maybe you could talk a bit about how this particular client has thought about finding synergies using ORE to accomplish both XVA and PFE use cases.
Yes, so the simulations that you would have to do are very similar to what Joey just described, that you have to simulate basically the entire derivatives portfolio that you are looking at for up to 50 years. I mean, we have derivatives that run that long, so you would have really to go to the maturity of the portfolio and then do multiple paths, usually from 1,000 up to 10,000, even 20,000 paths, whatever is required in terms of your computational accuracy that you want. And then even the output is very, very similar. The only difference is that usually people think about XVA in terms of a market price or an addition to the market price of the portfolio, meaning that you calibrate to what's called the risk neutral measure, i.e. you take the volatilities that you find in the market for the underlying instruments. And on the other hand, for the potential future exposure simulation, people typically use what is called the real world measure, i.e. looking at realized volatilities and correlations of the underlying portfolio. And what we have found over the course of our consulting business over the last 10, 15 years is that you can actually argue that you can use the same calibration for both calculations. And that then offers you a lot of synergies in terms of the computational issues that you run into. You only have to do this calculation once. You can reuse the PFE results to calculate XVAs, and that saves you a lot of hardware time, a lot of storage that you would otherwise require, and so on. So what we see with that client in particular is a huge saving on an annual basis in the two-digit million number.
So. And making that PFE calculation is complicated enough on its own, but in practice, there's an enormous amount, and that PFE calculation is what Acadia, or what ORE does well out of the box. But lots of work in the front end of that process in setting up all of the data layers into ORE for trade data and market data. Also plenty of work on the back end as well once that calculation is made in the form of model validation and backtesting. And a quick plug for a white paper that these two have authored towards the end of 2024 on backtesting risk factors used in PFE. That's some of those work, the work around the edges that banks or even larger non-banks do for XVA or PFE, that's really where some of those ORE SLA from our expert services consultants, where we can help clients who are using open source ORE to actually perform the calculations. So counterparty credit risk has always been a core tenet of what ORE does well, but it's not exclusively what ORE does. Fundamental to PFE is the ability to make valuations and pricing on the underlying instruments, but also market risk is probably the second most common use case. So Roland, maybe you can talk to some of the development on the scripted trade framework to make market risk sensitivities for that German client of ours.
So scripted trade is for me one of the most awesome additions to the ORE, to the open source project, because it gives you really the scope to model any derivative, any payoff that you can think of, basically. You can have structured payouts, and you can have termination rights, break rights, make-whole clauses, target return payments, whatever you can think of, whatever is out there. You can combine those to create really the most complex payoffs and payout structures. So that is really a fantastic thing. It is highly competitive nowadays to third-party products that are out there that you have to pay a lot of money for. Yes. Right. And one project in particular, I think that you were referring to here, is one that was just finished very successfully, where we replaced a third-party product to do pricing and risk management, i.e. Market risk sensitivity numbers, used both in market risk management but also in hedge accounting, using ORE for highly structured products, both in the inflation space but also equity and FX linked structures. So that was very, very successful, and we're really proud that that worked so well. The client is extremely happy with the results.
So far, a good flavor for how ORE has been used commercially by our clients in production in the front office, hedging, XVAs, middle office, PFE. Also, what we would traditionally say, back office functions like independent model risk groups or model validation groups. ORE provides a fantastic out-of-the-box capability, whether it be whether the model governance or model risk management task is validating pricing models, also risk models. That functionality is available out of the box. And Joey, maybe you could talk a bit to how using ORE as a benchmark tool on the model validation side helps save clients enormous amount of time and effort, avoiding the need to recreate benchmark models from scratch.
For sure, Scott. So regardless of jurisdiction, I think we can all agree that every regulator encourages an independent valuation as part of any good model validation or model governance process, whereby you have your primary model and you want to have some insurity that the PVs it's producing are actually accurate. So there are a number of ways of doing that. Some are internal model validation units within a bank, actually implementing things like spreadsheets or their own risk library.
Python notebooks. All the time. Yep.
Yeah. Mm. And using those to perform that exercise. And that might just be as part of good practice, you know, doing that periodically within the bank. And in that case, we are seeing a number of clients who want to actually replace these notebooks, or Jupyter notebooks and spreadsheets, with ORE to make it more both transparent and using a library which, rather than just being coded up the day off, is actually battle hardened with a library that's used by the entire industry every single day. So that's a huge use case for ORE, is to do that kind of benchmarking exercise to perform good model hygiene.
Yeah.
And that's just day-to-day basis. What we also see a lot of the time is that clients maybe have a new regulatory submission, right? They have a capital model or a pricing model which they want to feed to the regulators. That might be the SEC or the Bank of England. And as part of that submission process, they will be required to do an independent valuation. So throughout the year, we've had a number of projects where we've actually supported clients in doing that exact exercise using ORE versus their in-house pricing library.
And to my eye anyway, and my experience over the course of 2024, an emerging number of buy-side non-bank institutions, either subject to increased regulatory scrutiny to stand up a model governance or model risk management framework for the first time, or they're so large that their management, their board, has required that those teams start to dip their toes into the model validation, model documentation space. And if that's a topic that's near and dear to your heart, another reference, I'd encourage you to check out a previous podcast that Roland Stamm and I had authored specifically to initial margin model validation and model governance from late 2024 here on the Ahead of the Curve podcast. So we're certainly aware of the commercial use cases for ORE because clients are coming to us and telling us about their desire to use it. We are occasionally aware about pure open source use cases. And I'd say one of the biggest use cases so far, Acadia is most well known, I would say, for its support of the uncleared margin rules, helping clients make their non-cleared initial margin calculations and performing all of the required governance around that. We do have several clients who are using ORE purely to calculate SIM based on locally sourced or locally produced CRIFs, and that continues to be, you know, a very common use case. Acadia is quite diligent in promoting and pushing out newer SIM versions as published by ISDA, making sure they find their way both into our hosted commercial services as well as into our open source ORE offering. And even if even if Ori has not had an official release, we make sure to have off-cycle releases to support those newer SIM versions. So if you are using Ori for SIM, you can rest well knowing that new versions will be there. And if you need greater certainty contractually around that, you can inquire about an SLA to support those local SIM calculations in Ori. A second interesting use case has been for full balance sheet risk management, let's say, or even pure open source use cases on the XVA or counterparty credit risk space. So Roland, maybe you can talk to some of our experiences in that department, or sure. knowledge of clients using it for those use cases.
Sure. So with our help, usually, so that's why we know these clients, we have helped them migrate their portfolios to ORE. And one particular case that you mentioned first is really the entire balance sheet of a smallish bank that has been transferred to ORE, including accounts, including money market trades, bonds, what have you, and derivatives, of course. And to use ORE then to risk manage this portfolio or the entire balance sheet to the point where they can steer their or risk manage their IFRS margin. So that is the only case that we are aware of that an organization has really put the entire balance sheet into ORE, because most of our users would use ORE only for derivatives. We have some other cases where certain special instruments are also priced with ORE, like special loans, but this particular client is the only one that we are aware of that is doing the entire balance sheet within ORE, right?
Yeah. And XVAs and things like CSA valuations mm-hmm. still continue to be a very common use case, as we mentioned earlier.
Absolutely.
Counterparty credit risk. But you know, we as our quant group here at Acadia, we've been doing XVA modeling since the very early days of ORE, and that's that counterparty credit risk stripe within ORE is
I would say
the most battle tested here over the last 15 plus years.
Yes. That's kind of where it all started, really.
Yeah.
Actually.
And those listeners who have been following along ahead of the curve for the last few years know that the majority of us here in the Quant Services Group are recent joiners to the LSEG family. Acadia having been acquired just about 2 years ago fully by the LSEG Post-Trade Solutions Group. Over those last 2 years, we've found several opportunities here internally within LSEG, particularly within Post-Trade Solutions, where LSEG itself has been reliant on third-party risk and pricing vendors, and we've identified a number of opportunities internally to replace some of those vendors with ORE as well, with LSEG essentially becoming a client of ORE. So, Joey, I was hoping you could expand a bit on the particular use case for a sister company of ours internally here within PTS, Quantile, and some of their use cases for ORE.
Sure, Scott. So within the LSEG universe, of course, there's a huge number of groups that are focused on similar topics, and one of them was Quantile. They're focused in the compression space, but to do the compression, they have to be able to calculate SIM repeatedly, essentially, and that involves pricing. So with that in mind, they had a licensed platform that they were using and paying a hefty license fee to do so in order to perform those calculations. But as part of Acadia's move into this universe, we saw opportunities where maybe they could actually use ORE to do a lot of the feeder calculations that they need to use their service, so things like curve building and pricing. So over the past year or so, there's been a huge focus on actually implementing ORE within other groups, such as Quantile within LSEG, and leveraging it to replace these legacy vendor systems over the course of the year. And it's something we hope to continue to do over the coming years as well.
Yeah, we've been able to declare success on that Quantile transition at the end of 2024, and hopefully more to come on other business units within LSEG. I think it's particularly very exciting that LSEG has not only continued to promote the sponsorship of the Open Source Risk Project, it's actually accelerated the ability to participate in the open source realm. But that it commercially and business-wise is also throwing its full weight behind adoption of ORE internally. So as we near the conclusion here, I know the majority of this was a look back into how ORE was used in 2024, but let's spend a few minutes looking ahead to 2025 and beyond. We do have an upcoming ORE release this spring, 2025, and I'd say the majority of what you'll see in those release notes here upcoming over the next few months are driven by some of those commercial clients that we mentioned earlier in the podcast. But in the meantime, there's also one exciting initiative that Acadia is moving forward with on a commercial basis to expose ORE more easily to clients, to allow our clients and other users to demo ORE without fully implementing it locally. So avoiding some of those headaches around market data configuration. Again, another topic that myself and James McHale had talked about in a separate podcast, again, late last year. But also having all of the required configurations preset and customized to those input portfolios. So if you're familiar with Acadia, we have worked very hard over the last 5 to 7 years to build out a centralized market data service that we use in our hosted commercial initial margin services. And we're using that same market data service now to power ORE on a hosted basis through Jupyter Notebooks for a suite of analytics that expand well beyond initial margin. So I'm quite excited by the potential opportunity for a much larger number of people to get familiar with the capabilities of ORE without having to jump over as many hurdles as they have in 2024 and previous years. But in terms of specific development in 2025, Roland, what can some of our ORE users or interested parties expect in that upcoming spring release later this year?
So we will be out building out the service, ORE as a service, meaning that so far in the past, ORE has been what's called a stateless engine. You called it, it did its thing, and it shut down again. And what we have been working on for one of those clients that we mentioned before is that ORE is now capable of staying in a certain state, staying alive, waiting for new input, waiting for updates, let's say, on market data, and then recalculate stuff without shutting down, so that you save time, which is especially important for those performance heavy calculations that we mentioned before. Let's say you want to do just a marginal PFE calculation for a new trade or something like that, and you already have all the PFE calculations for your old portfolio from yesterday, let's say. So these kinds of things. And in that vein, we will have more services to come to what we have already published. For example, the LGM calibration will become a service, i.e. a calibration that you can write out and then reuse, reload into ORE.
Yeah.
That would be one thing.
As the instrument coverage and the analytics coverage has expanded within ORE over the last close to a decade now, I'd say a greater focus from some of our commercial users, particularly those with larger portfolios, has been on performance optimization. Yep. And performance improvements. So in previous ORE releases, we've supported multi-threading. I mentioned XVA sensitivities, which, you know, the XVA calculation in itself is quite burdensome. XVA sensitivities is an order of magnitude more difficult. You know, that has been released. The ability to make a basic XVA sensitivity calculation was released in 2024. But I know, Roland, we've expanded the performance of those XVA sensitivities using algorithmic differentiation. And that's an exciting release that should be coming
Absolutely.
Later this spring as well.
Absolutely. And also the usage of GPUs to speed up things is also being expanded on. There was a proof of concept release, so to say, in the last release. But we are expanding on that and hope to see even better results and broader coverage. We will also, sorry for interrupting, we will also include more asset classes in the American Monte Carlo framework, especially equities and probably also commodities.
Yeah. I'd say the biggest benefit of using ORE or familiarizing yourself with ORE is, as you've hopefully learned over the course of this podcast, the amount of commercial clients and open source users that are feeding back development into this lifecycle. It has, as we know for a fact, we use ORE ourselves here in our hosted initial margin services. Over 100 clients use it every day to make those initial margin calculations. So not only consulting clients of ours that we know about sort of either funding or contributing directly to ORE, but also development that we make ourselves to service our hosted risk services clients. And the GPU topic sparked my memory there. Joey, maybe we could get a bit into some of the specific development that clients will see upcoming here in 2025. related to enhancements that we've made ourselves to support those risk services clients. GPUs and backtesting is one area that comes to mind.
For sure. So these extremely computationally heavy exercises, such as backtesting, whereby you might have to calculate sensitivities or P&Ls over a 10 or 15 year period, that's a performance heavy task. So we're always looking for tricks we can do to speed up that calculation. One of them is a joint algorithmic differentiation, which I think is a really cutting edge topic in terms of performance in that space. So we have an implementation of that within ORE, which makes that kind of scale of backtesting for a number of clients possible on a frequent basis. So that's probably the first major performance enhancement that we've seen over this year. Then the other ones, like you both mentioned before, is the GPU space, which allows a lot of enhancements to performance calculations be made. So the industry knows, even beyond the industry, knows that GPUs are extremely popular.
Hot now
for all range of...
That's an understatement of the day, I think.
intensive calculations. So we also have ideas of leveraging these GPUs and maybe a CUDA framework in order to enhance our ability to do these kind of CVA sensitivity calculations that you mentioned earlier, Scott, that are extremely computationally heavy. I think one CVA calculation is hard at times, but doing it to calculate sensitivities for every risk factor, you do need these kind of performance enhancements, and we've embraced them fully in order to be able to do that.
And we've been working on this GPU research and testing for 2 to 3 years now, and we're to the point where we're excited to commit to releasing ORE's compatibility with GPU frameworks, OpenCL and CUDA, in the open source domain upcoming this spring 2025. So I think that's certainly something to look forward to. And I would say the last thing related to our hosted commercial services, Acadia does offer a capital calculation service alongside our daily initial margin services, whereby some of the standardized Basel III capital metrics can be calculated by Acadia now using ORE. So things like SACCR, your standardized approach to counterparty credit risk under Basel III, your FRTB standardized approach, very similar to the SIM framework, if you're familiar with that as a sensitivity-based VAR approximation. And I'd say more cutting edge or more exciting, not only BACVA, but also SACVA. We're planning to open source all of those Basel III standardized metrics here upcoming this spring within ORE. So we're working very hard now, not only on ensuring the accuracy of those analytics, but also ensuring that the instrument coverage associated with those capital metrics is as close to what you'll see across the entire ORE suite. So I think that's near and dear to my heart coming from the U.S., where Basel III Endgame has been quite the hot topic here over the last year or so. So with that, I'd like to thank both Roland and Joey for joining me today on this exciting, I hope, episode of Ahead of the Curve. For more information about the Open Source Risk Engine, I'd encourage you to visit our website, opensourcerisk.org. And if you're interested in any of the commercial services that you heard us mention today, in particular, the service level agreement or any sort of commercial support that you may require for the Open Source Risk Engine, you can visit acadia.inc to get in touch with some of our sales team. So I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And have a great rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks.